Om Shanti once again. Either you're all very, very happy and excited about karma, or you're in question marks. Of course, anything what we learn is always a little slow in digesting. But once it's digested, it works beautifully in our system. And so, just before even not knowing or understanding the pleasure, not understanding the pleasure of it, do not just stop it there. Even if you do not understand, just slowly try and understand the whole concept. Arunabin, please take my bag from there. Arunabin. So karma is something which is very, very interesting but important in this day and age, this time in the world cycle. Because the whole world is in a lot of question marks, and rather than, you know, pinpointing religions and faith, pinpointing governments and politics, pinpointing families and social life, let us just focus on I, the being. And there's a beautiful concept, like yesterday I understand you learnt about open eye meditation, to keep your eyes open and meditating. We use our organs, like we hear through the ears and we look through the eyes and we talk and we perform actions. So these organs are known as karma indriya. Karma means action. Indriya means organs. Yeah? And there is this one personality in one of the stories in India where this person was extremely deformed. Is known as Ashtavakra, deformed personality. The eyes were deformed, the ears, the mouth, everything. And one time a king felt, I do not want to neglect and ignore my responsibilities, but I don't even want to get drowned into it. A lot of kings, the stories are, they left everything and they went into the jungles and penance and renunciate life and all that. But he felt he wanted to balance it. And how can I do that? So he invited a lot of wise, learned Mahatmas and Gurus and a lot of, you know, scholars. So they were all asked by the king, is there anybody who can give me some knowledge or insight that I can balance my life? Perform my duty as a king. I don't have to renounce everything, but also be detached, yeah, and renunciate. And so they all started their theory. You understand the theory, right? From the books and it never touched the heart of this king. It didn't work. Towards the end, there was this one person right at the end, who was not a scholar, not a learned person, not a leader, but just an ordinary human being. He said, can I come and share my experience? Maybe that would work. And everybody started laughing at him. Because they were all looking at the titles behind the name, isn't it? Whereas this person didn't have anything like that. He just came right in front and said, I have a very deformed body. All my sense organs are deformed, in a crooked. But in spite of having all that, My soul is very correct. My mind is very correct. My mind is not deformed. My mind is very perfect, you know, focus. And so I'm living a beautiful life. I have no problem. Yeah? I'm very detached and loving with whatever I have. And that touched the heart. The arrow actually went straight into the king's heart. Because he was not talking about theory, he was practically talking about his lifestyle. And so, you see, there is one thing that a person reads and talks about, and the other thing a person practices and experiences and share. And the second one definitely is very effective. And so the king said, if this person can live in a deformed body and have a perfect life, I can live in a, you know, responsibility of kingdom, perform all that and be detached and live a perfect life. And so that was King Janak. So similarly, we human beings have all these sense organs. And so it's called karma indriya. When I just look, what is the state of my eyes? So, if you've heard the saying, do not see bad, do not talk bad, and do not hear bad. That doesn't mean that you put a bandage on your eyes and you put your plugs in your ears and you strap your mouth. Organs are there to be used. So I am going to use them, but I want to filter it. Yeah. So when I just see through this gross eyes, I can see a lot of things, isn't it? Good and bad. This one is fat, this one is short, this one is black, this one is men, this one is women. I can see a lot of things. Yeah. This is rich, this is poor. And so what happens is that when I see through this eyes, and what do you call it? I condition it, and with that conditioning, my attitude transforms. If this one is rich, then I talk to them differently. And if this one is poor, I talk to them differently. This one is famous, so I talk differently. In other words, that creates little bit of vikarma into my system. That's why it's karma indriya. I need to use all my sense organs, but purify it, filter it. Yeah? And how do I do that? It's very interesting. When I step within myself, consider myself to be a soul, not a rich person, not a poor person, not an educated one, not a this, not a that. And I actually filter that consciousness that I am a peaceful soul, a pure soul, a pure spirit, and then I see through these organs, or I hear through these ears, or I talk through this mouth, or I eat through the mouth, or I work through my organs, or I walk. I am filtering and reforming every organ. Yeah. The consciousness passes from body consciousness to soul consciousness, filter it, and then start seeing people around me. People here would not want to see what status you have in the world. Somebody was very interesting. They said, you know, some are kept in that building and some are kept in this building. What is the difference? It's not the building. It's your consciousness. We just have to accommodate. And we can't accommodate everybody in one place. So we accommodate everybody in different places, you know. Some like their own rooms, some like to share, some like to be in a community. We don't know who likes what, yeah. So we just choose randomly, yeah, and we put them. Yeah, the only thing we have is, unconditionally, every region is mixed, you know. Every region is mixed. By chance you're there, by chance you're there. Yeah? So it's not the accommodation, it is just sharing. And then of course there is some request because of their limitations, like walking or whatever it is, we cater for that. That's the second thing. So when I receive or when I look at any being, I first filter my organs and then I start serving or communicating or interaction. And that seeing then transforms very nicely that I do not see. But there's an elevated word in Hindi called drishti. And drishti is a very elevated word. In other words, I'm a soul and my being opposite me is also a soul, like Dadi said yesterday, my brother or my sister, you know. And with that consciousness, I have a pure vision towards that being. You see how filtered my vision becomes, my drishti becomes. I don't look, I don't see. You must have noticed, sometimes somebody is tearing you from the back. And you start feeling uncomfortable, you know, like somebody is tearing me. And you turn and someone is staring at you. And that staring is body conscious. The vision is not filtered. So that staring then makes you uncomfortable because it's body conscious. But the moment I filter and I look, that becomes the vision. It's a very elevated way of seeing people. Not the way they are, but the way who they are. Yeah? That this is my soul brother or my soul sister. And when I do that, it automatically accumulates in my credit account, my sukarma. But if I just look and become judgmental and just, you know, communicate or interact that way, then it becomes vikarma. So I'm accumulating this, you know. And so sometimes we say, oh, these are Hindus, or these are Muslims, or these are Christians, or these are Orthodox. So we are tagging them as a religious tag. Or these are Americans, and these are Palestinians, and these are Africans. Again, we are tagging. Yeah? Here we've forgotten everything, who we are. We are only children of God. And so all my organs are purifying. We've forgotten the date, we've forgotten the day. Sometimes we forget the time. But of course we then have to come back every now and then, but filtering the whole thing. And so karma philosophy is exactly like the Newton's law. Every action has its own equal reaction. But that is practically experienced through science, the theory of science. And this you can experience through the power of silence. Through the power of silence is so effective that the chatter of the mind stops. Why and what and who did this and who did that? But just full stop. No more question marks. Question mark confuses us. Explanation marks confuses us. Full stop means whatever happened. Alright, fine. Let me carry on. Go ahead. see, afresh. So every now and then, we learn a new chapter in life. And life becomes very interesting. And as I told you, our whole aim is to achieve perfection. And this perfection is known as karmatit. So we're playing around with the word karma, isn't it? So it's karmatit means karma is again action. And tit means go beyond the cause and effect of karma. Beyond the cause and effect of karma is karmatit. In other words, I am performing everything. I am interacting. Yeah, I am receiving and giving, but detached and loving. No intentions that when I give, I should receive. Yeah? I just give because I love giving it. I just receive out of respect and not out of greed. And it's a very perfect stage called karmatit. So our whole aim of human beings is to reach that. Once we become karmatit, in other words, perfect, we return back home. The return journey. If you've done the three worlds, the three dimensions, you would understand that we don't permanently belong to this dimension, the karma kshetra. We've just come on the field to perform our actions. We complete everything and we go back home. Return journey. Letting go. Detach. You see? And so, remember, it's exactly like the little tortoise coming out of the shell, performing actions, and withdrawing and going back into safety. So we have little homes all over. One is this home. So I stretch my sense organs, I use it, and I pull it back again. So there is like, you know, expansion and withdrawal. Expansion and withdrawal, and our life becomes very lovely. Then I am into this world, the world of sound and action. So I come into this world here mentally. I perform whatever I need to, my duties, my work. I need to come into sound. I need to come into action. When I don't need it, I go into my silence, go beyond. You see? So that's another exercise. You know? And then the third one is body consciousness and soul consciousness. So I use this instrument, I use my sense organs, karma indriya, and then I detach myself and become that point of light every now and then. And you will see wonders happening. So did you get that? Yeah? Now we're going to talk about silence. Human beings are so used to sound and action that you will feel if we do not come into sound and action, we can't achieve what we need to achieve. If somebody says something, the other one says it more louder. And this one then says it more louder. And we think, you know, if we go louder and louder, maybe people can understand. No. Or if we come into action, then we understand. I remember my mother, when she wanted to take us children out, she will tell us, behave. If somebody gives you anything, don't just take it. You know? And sit properly. Yeah? She'll tell us that. Don't be naughty. So we arrive there. We're so sweet, quiet. You know, when somebody offers us something we don't take, we look at our mother. If she says, okay, take, we take. You know? But if we're naughty, She doesn't say a word there. She just goes quiet. And we can hear that quietness very loud. Don't you think? I think most of us children have gone through that. We can hear our mothers, you know, very loud and clear. You better come home, come back home, and we'll see what happens. Not that a mother would do anything, but she will just be quiet. And that silence, you know, becomes so loud and clear that next time we want to be careful. We hear it very well. So it's not always sound, and it's not always silence, action, but sometimes it's also silence we can hear. But we're so used to the extrovert that we never ever want to go introvert. We think sitting at a dining table and talking and talking and talking, we're achieving a lot. But sometimes just sitting with your own self and listening to your inner self, appreciating your inner self, you know, is extremely needed. How many times have we appreciated our own self? No? Mainly we're just appreciating others or other things. So we need that balance. Not out of ego, remember. Yeah? Out of self-respect. And so today, you're going to have meals in silence. Yeah? And be with yourself. Now how do we do that? Is a regular practice. I do it. When I wake up, instead of going extrovert, I go introvert. I do look at the clock, what the time is, but it's not going to create upheaval in me. If it is early, oh, thank you, Pratibha, that was nice. Are you early? And if you're a little bit late, oh, let's do it quickly. It's okay, not to worry. Yeah? Just step within. Be in that quiet inner space. It's very soothing and cool within. Be in that place. At least take a deep breath, because we hardly even properly breathe. We're always sitting there with our breath right in the middle, you know. And then just listen to the silence. That silence is so soothing. It cleans all my karma indri, all my sense organs. Because that silence comes from my inner peace. I, the peaceful being, the soul, spirit, atma, roho, ruh, nafs. And then I stay in that place and enjoy. Open my eyes and look everywhere. I eat my food. I do whatever I need to do. In other words, I start my day with that silence. I prepare. Even when I sit in the car, I just don't start the car and say, come on, quick, hurry up. I sit there for a moment, just a moment. Withdraw. Go into silence, take a deep breath, and then start your journey. When you arrive at the office, oh my God, where's that file? Where's that file? Bring it quickly, telephone. No. Go to your desk, do the same exercise, start your work. It just takes a fraction of a second. Not even much. You can't tell me I don't have time. In fact, you know, when we just jump into the deep end, we use more time. Yeah, you jump into your car, try to stop the car is not starting, it started, you come into a traffic jam somewhere, oh my God, I'm getting late, I'll be late at the office. It's even worse. But rather, I take this few seconds and color it with that silence and create that balance and then start my work, and you will see wonders. Towards the end of your task, the relationship is going to be very sweet, the task is very positive and promising. You know, your day is so lovely, and then you go to sleep, you finish whatever you need to, reading, watching, talking, whatever, sit in your bed again, withdraw like a tortoise, withdraw all your sense organs, go into that silence again, and then sleep. And that sleep is going to be quality sleep. Nowadays, doctors tell us we need 8 hours of sleep, isn't it? But they've never defined which quality of sleep. Yeah? If you stress, you're upset, and instead of 8, you sleep 10 hours. But when you wake up, you're the same again. You're still upset. Or you're still stressed or tired. But here we say quality of sleep. Even if it is not 8 hours. Maybe it's 3 hours or 4 hours or 5 hours. But quality of sleep. And so, these are the little circles in our life which helps me to achieve the quality of life on this planet Earth. And ultimately, when we all start doing that, I mean, I don't expect everybody, but at least a huge percentage of us being aware of who I am and what I'm supposed to do, what is the purpose of my life on this planet Earth? You know? Is it a purpose where I need a few million dollars? Or is it a purpose that I need to achieve a few titles next to my name? Or is it a purpose that I just make my dream house and keep it empty somewhere on a hill station? No. My purpose is to really, really balance my life. My karma, you know. And so you would see that we come to a perfect world where it doesn't limit me with languages, with culture, with religion and faith, gender, nothing. Nature, everything becomes so balanced that we are in that world where I need to experience. And so today, I think all these days you've been having lovely meals with all the chats and talks, isn't it? I can hear that buzzing in the dining room. So today what you're going to do is, after this, we will be going to the dining room, but in silence. Yeah? Oh yes, you can smile. You can give drishti. Remember when you receive your food, you're receiving drishti. The servers are looking at you and acknowledging you and giving you food. So it's lovely, because when you go to the table with all your food, there are two ways of receiving your food. Oh my God, I'm so hungry. I'm just going to eat. I hope I don't get sick. If I eat this, I know this happens to me. I know this happens to that. That's one way of receiving that food. You are contaminating that food, yeah, with your thoughts. Yeah, maybe greed, or maybe tiredness, or maybe whatever, you know. It contaminates. But give drishti to your food, the silence power. And I'm receiving this very lovely food to nourish. And of course also enjoy. And you will see the food works wonders in the system. Yeah. In other words, whatever, when I look at my fellow brothers and sisters, I purify my vision. I look at my food, I purify my food. When I look at the money, I purify that money, you know. Yes, it's very important. In India, they've got two ways of looking at wealth. One way, they call it Lakshmi. God is Lakshmi. Those festivals are just around the corner in November. They want to invite Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth. So they believe that, you know, wealth would pour into your life. But then the same wealth is also seen as Maya. Maya means illusion. Maya means, you know, viciousness, greed. So can you imagine the same wealth has two different versions? They say, don't have Maya. In other words, in the culture, in other words, you should not have wealth. And on the other side, we're welcoming Lakshmi, so we're welcoming wealth. So is it the problem, is it wealth? Or is it the way I see it? Or the way I use it? If I use it for a worthwhile manner, service, you know, then it purifies. The vision is purified and that wealth becomes Lakshmi, which gives comfort, which gives happiness, which gives pleasure, you know, the same Lakshmi, the wealth. And then if I see it through greed or attachment or evilness, then that turns Maya, which creates sorrow and pain and, you know, a lot of problems. And so it's the same thing. So here the Brahma Kumaris never tell you not to have anything, but how to have it and how to use it and how to look at it is very important. Yeah? So you understood the silence? Yeah? This silence is not only for today or now, but from now onwards, practice. When you're with your friends, fine, interact, no problem. We're just going to be here for a few more days together. So that's not a problem. But in between, take these little intervals. You know, sit under a tree and go into a little bit of silence. So it's like stretching, it's like your mental exercise. You know, so it doesn't get stiff, doesn't break. See? This is a mental exercise and spiritual exercise. It helps me. And that is absolutely meditation. Meditation has different stages. So you can't just use this tool in one place and in one way, but you can use that tool in many different ways. Om Shanti. Yes. Purify money? It's just, no, you don't wash it with water. No, you feel love. It's funny, isn't it? But in India, there is a festival called Dhanteras, just a few weeks after it's coming. And they literally wash it with water. Yeah, not the notes, but the coins and the gold. They wash it. Oh, absolutely. The more we become body consciousness, the ritual becomes body consciousness. You know? Everywhere. Not here only. But purifying wealth simply means my vision again. Am I seeing it through greed? Am I seeing it through mercy? Am I seeing it through respect? And you will see it will go in the correct direction. Yeah? Yes. Using it with a very pure intention. That's the formula. You don't even say don't use it, but use it in a pure intention. Like a lot of people say, I want to donate this much, for a noble task. But then towards the end, the intention is my name going to be glorified somewhere? You know? That's where you contaminate it, isn't it? Straight away. Yes, somebody had a question here. A comment. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. The comment was, it's energy, it's exchange of energy. So there's nothing like greed. What I am giving is one energy, and what I'm receiving is another energy. But it's just energy, which is true, you know. All right. So shall we stop here? Thank you. It was lovely to be with all of you. Yes.
What is your name?
Oh. Oh, yeah. All right. Such a good teacher. All right, I'm Pratibha. I was born in Zambia. I was brought up in Zimbabwe and living in Kenya for the last 38 years. So virtually African, isn't it? And a lot of people think I'm Indian. I am, of course, born to Indian parents, but I'm a third generation African. And I met the Brahma Kumaris in Zambia 43 years ago, when I was in high school. As I told you, I was born in a... I didn't mention that, but now I'm mentioning that I was born in a Hindu family, but not practicing Hinduism to the 100%. My parents could only give me so much. I was educated in two different worlds. One was Christian convent school, then I was international American school. So you can see the two different worlds, yeah? And my nuns wanted to pull me towards Christianity. My parents were trying to impose Indian culture on me. My friends were trying to pull me towards the gross world. And I was standing right in the middle of this crossroads trying to understand life. It's my life. I need to choose. And why is people choosing for me? You know? And I was in high school and I met the Brahma Kumaris. I had no idea what it was all about. The only impression I had was these people come from India, whoever, the leaders. They teach us something, whether it's right or not, we don't know. But they take money and go away. So if you want money, just take it. Yeah? But please don't teach us wrong things. This was my impression. It's not true, but that's my impression. But when I met this sister in this white uniform, I was very impressed. I didn't know who she was, what she does, nothing. I thought, look at her, she doesn't even have anything. And she's so happy. Whereas me, I was brought up in a very unique family where there's abundance, you know. And every time I sit on the dining table, I sit and cry there. What do I eat? I have nothing to eat here. I don't like all these things. I go to the wardrobe over the weekends and I stand there and say, what do I wear? I have nothing to wear. So there was some discontentment in the child, but what? God knows. Only God knows. My parents, very, very lovely parents, affectionated. Best friends, you know. So something where you have nothing to lack. But the inner soul was searching, which I had no idea. The moment I met the Brahma Kumaris, I felt this is my place. And I finished my studies. I wanted to do law. I never did law. It was my dream to be a lawyer. I never did it because my country introduced national service. It was turning socialist, communist. So I did business studies and I straight went to the Brahma Kumaris. I came to India. I took my training and then the headquarters, Mount Abu, sent me back to Africa to serve. So I've been based in Kenya since last 38 years. I serve the region and the world and come twice in a year to give my services to the headquarters. That's Pratibha.